Hello, friends, and welcome to the Everyday Truth Podcast with Kurt Skelly. Our purpose is to show that the Bible is relevant to your life every single day. And we're glad you joined us here for the conversation as we journey through the book of Acts and learn that true faith leads to action. Now, let's hear what Kurt has to say.
And welcome back, my friends, to today's episode of Everyday Truth in the book of Acts. And we are, Lord willing, going to finish Acts chapter number 18 today. This chapter, most of it was a chronicle of the Apostle Paul's ministry at Corinth, but recently now he's left Corinth, always on the move, as we talked about last episode. A brief time in Ephesus, there he left Priscilla and Aquila, and then he himself made it all the way back to the port of Caesarea, spent some time at his home church in Antioch, but then he spent some time just affirming and strengthening, confirming the churches of Galatia and Phrygia. In the meantime, though, John, remember, Priscilla and Aquila, they're still back in Ephesus. They're still doing the weekly work, really it's daily work, of discipling and helping people to grow in their faith. And something happens in the synagogue at Ephesus that's very interesting. So if you have a chance to look on with us, we're in verse 24 of Acts chapter 18, where the Bible says, "A certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus." So first of all, just let's define some terms. Alexandria is located in northern Africa. So what would a Jew be doing in northern Africa, John?
You know, we would have found there in that part of the country, we would have found a number of Jews in that area. And we would have seen a lot of learning taking place in the region of Alexandria. Later on, some of the early church leaders even came from that area. It was well known early in Christianity as a place where people did trust in Christ and propagated the gospel.
Yeah. When you think of Jews, a lot of times erroneously, you'll think of just Jerusalem. But remember, the Jews were scattered, the diaspora, they were scattered. And there were huge Jewish populations in northern Africa. Remember Jesus, Joseph, and Mary escaped the clutches of Herod, and they went to Egypt. And no doubt they went to a Jewish community in Egypt until Herod died. So even Jesus came out of Egypt as a toddler back in the day. Egypt was known as a place of the Egyptian community of Jews was known as a place of great learning. Great libraries were located in Alexandria. And even people like the Ethiopian eunuch who had come to worship, maybe a Jewish proselyte had come to Jerusalem. So it was not uncommon for Jews to be located in this place. And here is Apollos, as we will see, who believes in Messiah. He loves the scriptures. He has great ability in the communication of truth. He's mighty and eloquent. God's given him that giftedness. And now, for whatever reason, he finds himself in Ephesus. And again, we see the providence of God in bringing strategically certain people to certain people.
It is exciting to see what God does here with Apollos and how God brings him to where Aquila and Priscilla are at. And later on, we don't know a whole lot about Apollos really in the Bibles. In the Bible, Paul talks about him some, but Apollos is going to be, you know, taught by Aquila and Priscilla. And this is an exciting portion of scripture to get the glimpse in the life of this man of God, whom God did continue to use greatly.
The name Apollos obviously is not a Jewish name. It's a name that bespeaks Greek mythology. And you know, could it be that Apollos was not born a Jew, but that had converted to Judaism because of the ministry of John the Baptist?
Yes.
Or it could be that his parents were just secular Jews that didn't really care about. But whatever the case, Apollos had a come to Jesus moment under the ministry of John the Baptist. Because watch what it says in verse 25. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the Spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. So what do we know about John's baptism? We know that it was the baptism of repentance, and we know that John spoke of the coming Christ. He spoke of the Lamb of God. So there's no question to me that Apollos had put his faith in the subject of John's message, Messiah, but what he understood about Jesus' ministry and, of course, the death, burial, and resurrection, the gospel message, is somewhat obscured in this passage.
It is interesting. You know, today we know the gospel story so well, but we have to remember that back at this time, things are still kind of in flux, and that we have some Jews who've heard of John the Baptist, listened to John the Baptist, and have responded to his message. They believed all that they've known so far, but they may not have known everything about Jesus Christ yet. So what they have heard, they have believed, and yet some of them are still learning things about the Messiah, what the Messiah has done, because not everybody everywhere yet, even the Jews, have not yet heard of Jesus Christ entirely and what Christ has accomplished.
So the point, my friends, I guess applicationally for you and me, is that here's a man that loves the Lord. He preaches with diligence and sincerity what he knows. He's very talented as far as his ability to speak, gifted in that sense. But there are some major theological gaps in his understanding. And Priscilla and Aquila, on the other hand, have been discipled by the Apostle Paul, to whom the revelation of the mystery has been given. And every I has been dotted, every T has been crossed. I mean, if you're going to be discipled by the Apostle Paul, you're going to get the full measure.
It is interesting that this man can speak very eloquently. And sometimes we erroneously think just because somebody speaks eloquently means they're very learned, but that's not necessarily true. And yet we find that this man has a heart for God, and he's humble. Although he is eloquent, he is humble and willing to be taught by those who know better than he does.
And we find that specifically in verse 26, because he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly, which I find to be just a wonderful example of the humility of Priscilla and Aquila, because the implication is they're sitting in this message. They hear this guy preach, and it's very evident that the man is bold. It's evident that the man is eloquent. It's evident that the man is sincere. Those are three evidences that are very clear. But it's also clear from the scripture here that he said some things that just were not right. They were off. And Priscilla and Aquila immediately recognized that he was not doing this in a duplicitous way. He was doing this because he just didn't know any better.
It reminds me how the body of Christ works, how that God has gifted some people speaking very well, but other people may be more knowledgeable. And as you listen to people who maybe need some more teaching, if God is giving the opportunity, in a heart of humility. And as you mentioned, Pastor, Aquila and Priscilla were humble. They didn't come and say, you don't know what you're talking about. You need to get this right. They came with humility and instructed him in a more full way about things he did not fully realize yet.
Priscilla and Aquila understood what we need to understand, and that is that motive matters.
Yes.
They knew that Apollos didn't intend to spout false doctrine or to confuse the gospel. He was a sincere guy that just hadn't received a full measure of education yet. That's all. And as you said, John, there were options that Priscilla and Aquila could have employed here that would have been disastrous. For instance, they could have walked out. I ain't sitting here for this sermon. This guy's off. They could have complained to others. They could have gone around and say, well, that guy's not, he's not doctrinally sound. Don't listen to him preach. But they didn't exercise either one of those options. They did the biblical thing And that is, they privately sought audience with Apollos to help him.
This is a great template for us and a great example to us of how to work with people in church today. You know, if you have something that somebody says and you think they're wrong about something, you want to talk to them, go with a heart of humility, talk to them as a brother or sister in Christ, and we can help each other grow in the grace of Christ.
Don't assign motives.
Right.
Just because the guy is not preaching something that's spot on doesn't mean that that was not his intention. Verse 27, and when he was disposed to pass into Achaia. So the implication of verse 26 is that they brought him under their wing and discipled him. And they did it, Aquila and Priscilla. So here's a husband and a wife sitting around the kitchen table, having an open scripture, talking through theology. And Apollos, as a sincere follower of Jesus, is drinking all of it in.
It's a great picture of a husband and wife working together in ministry, how that God can use them as a great team to disciple others.
And Apollos is an itinerant guy. So he's there for just a season. And it just shows us in modern ministry that some people come in our lives and we minister with them and to them for many, many years. Others come across our lives and our paths intersect for a relatively short period of time. But it does not mean that we can't have a great influence. And people that are transient, now I think about Faith Baptist. We have a number of people that come through on three-year stints because of military. People come in for government contracting jobs, and they come in, they come out. And sometimes if we're not careful, we'll look at that as a liability to say, oh, you know, we're not going to have a great relationship, a long-standing relationship with this person. But we need to look at it much differently. And that is that God brings people in for seasons so that we can invest and they can invest and then take what they have learned and deposit it somewhere else. What a blessing.
It is a blessing to have a ministry to people who are on the go, so to speak, traveling different places. Because when you help them out, help them grow spiritually, you help other people down the road who they're going to help out.
That's right. The pollen that we get on our feet is going to fertilize some other flower somewhere else. And we find that here because he was disposed to pass into Achaia. The brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him. So now Apollos has this personhood at the church at Ephesus. He receives a letter of recommendation and validation. He goes to Corinth, who, the Corinthians, when he was come, or rather Apollos, when he was come, helped them much, which had believed through grace. How did Apollos help the church at Corinth? Well, the Bible tells us in verse 28, for he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, showing by the scriptures that Jesus was Christ. Well, wait 1 minute. Was it not the Jews that rejected Paul when he was pressed in the spirit to show them that Jesus was Christ? And these were the same Jews that would have arrested and jailed the Apostle Paul in their failed attempt before Gallio. And now, sometime later, Apollos is convincing the very Jews that had rejected the Apostle Paul.
It reminds us so much that God can use different people to reach people in a different way. You know, we all have spheres of influence, but there are some people, if I talk to them, they're not going to respond to me. But somebody else can come and talk to them, say the same exact thing sometimes, but God uses them differently. And it's great to see God using people. And we ought to pray for people that we think we can't reach. Pray that God will bring somebody around to reach them for the gospel's sake.
Check your ego at the door. You know, somebody might have come to your church and you extended hospitality and they didn't stick around. And then you learn that they're at the church across town and they're thriving there. Don't get jealous. Don't get competitive and comparative. You know, different people can reach different people. And what's interesting to me here is that Paul had a great passion for the Jews. He tried to reach them. He was very faithful in his presentation of the gospel, but they rejected it. But Paul reached people, Priscilla and Aquila, who reached a person who reached the people that Paul couldn't reach. You know, I just love it.
It reminds me, sometimes in ministry today, I've known of people who've gone to certain areas and tried to build a church, start a church, and it failed. And their mentality has been, well, that place can't be reached. But God brings somebody else in, and God uses that person to reach that group of people. So if we ever can't reach somebody, let's not discourage others and say, well, you know, I've tried and that they can't just be reached. it may be that God can use somebody else to reach them mightily.
And it might be somebody generationally down the trail that will reach the people that you want to reach. So in this case, Paul reached Aquila and Priscilla, who reached Apollos, who reached the people that Paul couldn't reach. And that is just, it puts a smile on my face because it's just how the gospel works even today. So I appreciate you joining us, my friends, and just listening. And I'm sure that you'd like to insert a comment here or there yourself. And we'd love to have you come by sometime if you're ever in the Fredericksburg area. I'd love to hear from you. Feel free to email me if you'd like from time to time, kurt.skelly@gmail.com. As always, if you could give us a review or share the podcast with somebody, that would be a blessing as well. So thank you for joining us. Hope you have a great day in the Lord. God bless you, my friends.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If everyday truth matters to you, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.